Welcome back to the Jefferson Exchange. I'm Mike Green. Oregon is known as the Beaver State, but the beaver population is in trouble. Fortunately, there are eager efforts ongoing to help restore the beaver population. Joining me in the studio to tell us more are my two guests. Janine Moy is founder and director of the Vesper Meadow Education Program. Welcome, Janine.
Thanks, Mike. Glad to be here.
And Stassi Maxwell manages the Indigenous Partnership Programs at Vesper Meadow. Welcome, Stassi.
Thanks, Mike. Happy to be here.
So, Janine, let's start with the problem. What's happening to the beavers in Oregon?
Well, I think if we're going to look at the populations of beaver in Oregon, we have to start also way back, last couple hundred years. There's been significant and rapid changes to their habitat, to the landscape. There was intentional trapping and kind of killing of beaver for their fur. And then in the last 100 years, there's been a lot of diversions of water for irrigation, for kind of other purposes. And so their habitat has been significantly altered. So all of these things compounding have really kind of changed the landscape. Beavers are nature's engineers, and without them, we're really at a loss for our drinking water, for landscape health.
So apparently there were enough beavers for the state to adopt the beaver as its official animal. And then because of man trapping and hunting the beaver, because of man diverting the water that's the beaver's habitat, the beaver is now in trouble because of us. Is that right?
Sure, yeah. And I guess like a lot of what people call environmental problems, really it's a human-caused problem, right? And I guess at Vesper Meadow, we like to clarify that, you know, humans aren't necessarily bad, and really these environmental problems are settler colonial impacts to the landscape. It's really just the people, the man, the women, all the people, really in the last 200 years out here.
So in the last 200 years. Okay, so Stassi, why should we care? What happens to the beaver?
I would say that the beaver is in what Western science calls a keystone species. Mm-hmm. And so without a keystone species, an ecosystem will often collapse. If you Google like beaver is a keystone species, there's probably a lot of beautiful articles and pictures that will come up that will reflect the positive impact that beaver has on the landscape in terms of retaining water in a stream or river. And of course, water is life, as we say in Indian country. And so water allows so many plants, animals, and other species to thrive.
Beavers are just giant rodents, aren't they?
No. It is pretty amazing. You know, I've had the opportunity at some other sites, you know, to see beaver chew, and to also with our relocation that we had recently to hold a beaver and to release it back into its natural habitat where it can thrive and hopefully help the ecosystem thrive. And they were very gentle, docile creatures, you know. So it was a really beautiful experience, and being able to connect to animals in nature and connect animals back to nature is a really beautiful experience in person that I hope other people can have that experience through volunteering.
Volunteering with your organization. Janine, tell me more about it.
Well, everything we do is people-powered, and Vesper Meadow Education Program is place-based. So we often are inviting people up to the Vesper Meadow Restoration Preserve. You can find out about events on our website, vespermeadow.org. And we work with folks of all different creeds and backgrounds, scientists, artists, other restoration practitioners, to power the restoration work, to get in the creek, get dirty, plant willow. Also working with artists to help tell the story of what we're doing. So we have a lot of art days and various kind of relationships where artists will come out on their own and do kind of work that is they're inspired to do. We invite classes. This spring, Stassi and I are going to be working with a number of K through 12 classes to do outdoor learning and participate in art and restoration. What else? We do so much. And In the last couple years, we've been really focusing also on partnering with tribal people. And I could let Stassi talk more about that.
Stassi, you're managing the Indigenous partnerships, right?
Yeah. We kind of have two programs right now. One is emerging called Tending the Homelands, which seeks to repair settler harm on the landscape for both nature, animals, and humans. And also the Healing Landscapes Program, which the tagline we like to say is, as we heal the land heals us. And so while we're working on the landscape to restore creek and natural habitat, I also talk about Indigenous worldview, as well as trauma-informed care, since I have a background in psychology as well.
My guests are Janine Moy and Stassi Maxwell. Janine is founder and director of the Vesper Meadow Education Program. Stassi manages the program's Indigenous partnerships. So Janine, why did you start this?
Well, so many reasons. I had been working in the field of conservation for a little over a decade, and I really wanted to bring new perspectives to conservation. I feel like the environmental movement is sometimes at a loss these days for how do we talk about climate change? How do we talk about our relationship to the land? And what does it mean with increased water scarcity and political pressures and everything? And I strongly believe that we need to pull together. We need to bring diverse perspectives. We need to integrate people from everywhere to, one, understand these issues, bring their skills and perspectives, and really just understand ourselves as part of the ecosystem in which we live and depend on, and not as something separate. So even if we are, say, you know, trying to stop immediate harms, mining, dams, logging, that's all necessary. But what is the bigger picture, and what is the framework that we're working under? Like, how can we make a systemic change to our relationship to nature? And, you know, during these times where we're seeing really unpredictable, there's really unpredictable things happening at a larger level, I think we kind of collectively are coming to understand this is going to be like a people's movement. Like, the land and people need to heal together, and it's going to happen on the ground. It's going to be a grassroots movement. And without a vision of restoration, of what our communities can look like, what the land should look like, we don't know where to go. So our work at Vesper Meadow is really about painting a picture of what comes next. After we get through our difficulties of this time, what are we striving for? How can we be better in the future?
Well, I like that. So you have an envisioned future, but we live in a volatile political climate right now that's affecting it all. So I understand that, to your point, the people are going to have to decide, what do we want? Well, how did you even think to get into this? Where'd you grow up? What motivated you? What inspired you to begin to work with the environment?
Yeah. Well, I grew up in New York State. I like to say same latitude, different attitude. And we spent a lot of time, my family, just kind of poking around in the forest nearby. I decided, kind of going into higher education, that I wanted to really pursue understanding nature and how I could give back to a clearly impacted and polluted world. And I kind of followed both passions for being outside, rock climbing, followed these kind of passions, and also career interests out west through Colorado and California. And now I've been in Southern Oregon and the Rogue Valley for about 15 years. And I've worked in various capacities of education, research, community organizing, doing art, and kind of exploring the mountains around here in my spare time. And so bringing my own diverse perspectives to creating a program that reflected that and what I believe to be true, and just bringing a culture kind of around these things. So I really feel like my highest use or my calling is to just connect people, to connect people with the land and each other. And I'm really grateful to be able to do that in this role.
When did you start Vesper and why focus on the beavers?
Well, Vesper Meadow was established in 2018, working directly with the landowner who purchased the land at the time. And we wanted to have this kind of private land for a public purpose and engage folks in that. And you can see this property, you can see the preserve from Indian Memorial Highway, legally known as Dead Indian Memorial Highway.
Here in Ashland.
Problematic, but we could, that's a story for another day. And when you look up the drainage of the meadow, you can see little kids that come out. They look at it and they're like, this looks like a mini Grand Canyon. Like the waterway is very down cut into the meadow. It's severely eroded. There's hardly any willow left in the creek. The previous owners who were running cattle and contracting people to run cattle admitted that the creek had been very impacted. And
what's the importance of willow?
Willow is nature's medicine. It can help you with your headache, but it can also heal the land, and it prevents erosion of the soils. It provides habitat for birds, butterflies, beaver. It evolved with beaver, so the more that it's clipped back, the more that it shoots new growth. And so we work with volunteers to plant it every season. And where was I going with that? The way that we kind of came to do this, it's called low-tech process-based restoration, or we commonly call it beaver-based restoration, is just in my approach of learning things and figuring out what to do, I'm always trying to bring people in. So we were talking to hydrologists, ornithologists, wildlife biologists, and I met a couple folks at a local water restoration conference a few years ago. I was talking to Jacob Shockey at Project Beaver and also Chris Jordan from NOAA Fisheries. And we walked the creek and pulled together a lot of things that a lot of different people were talking about. And we settled on doing this low-tech process-based restoration because it is people-powered. You need a lot of kind of hands on deck to implement it. It is low impact in terms of it's a low-impact alternative to some other restoration where you're using heavy machinery and really, like, disturbing the soils.
And you're bringing in institutional knowledge and generational knowledge from the indigenous natives, right, Stassi?
Yes. Yeah, Native people had a really beautiful way of working with the landscape and tending it to abundance for all, not just humans, but also insects, birds, small mammals, large mammals. And you can imagine living on the landscape for thousands of years. And one of the things I like to share with youth in particular that come up is, you know, can you see your clothes? Can you see how to make clothes? Or where's your food coming from? And how do you make tools from this landscape? And, you know, and up until not that long ago, all people around the world were very connected to place, to seasons and cycles, and how to have your shelter, your food, and your tools all from where you were living.
The land provides everything.
Yes, and it still does, which is interesting. You know, it still creates these tables and these radios and everything that we have here today still, which is pretty amazing.
We tend not to think about that, but the buildings come from the land.
Yeah.
Everything that we use comes from the land.
Yep. We just may not necessarily have a hand in it like we did, like our ancestors did not that long ago.
Okay, well, unfortunately, that's all the time we have. Thank you both for the work that you do.
Yeah, a pleasure.
Thank you, Mike.
My guests are Janine Moy and Stassi Maxwell. Janine is founder and director of the Vesper Meadow Education Program. Stassi manages the program's Indigenous partnerships.